Let us turn now to Psalm 18. Psalm 18, and we shall read at verse 37. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. These verses and the verses around them depict for us a mighty warrior who is routing his enemies. And when we read the life of David, who wrote this psalm near the end of his life, we can see many instances where this was true. David may have been thinking of the time when he took down the great giant Goliath and put his foot on his neck, and then pursued with the Israelites, the Philistines, in a great slaughter. He may have been thinking of the incident we read of in 1 Samuel 30, where we read that he pursued the Amalekites and routed them and recovered all that they had taken from him. We can find maybe 5 or 6 instances in the Bible that these verses describe. David routing his enemies with great power and justice. But as with almost every part of the life of David, apart from the sinful parts, we find in his life prophetic narrative. We find that his life prophesied another life, and what he experienced was a foreshadowing of future experiences. We know that Jesus Christ is repeatedly called the Son of David, and that's not just because he was descended from him, but because he was so like him in so many ways. And we find this language of the great warrior being applied to Jesus Christ. We find even in one of the very evident messianic psalms, in Psalm 110, he shall judge, the Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook and the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. You remember in the account we read there of the Amalekites, that when the Amalekites were being pursued, David and his men, they stopped at the brook Besor for refreshment. And many of them were still too tired to go on, and they stayed. But others, they found themselves refreshed and restored and continued pursuing until they had made a rout of their enemies. And this is what's being spoken of here. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall they lift up the head. He will be restored and refreshed to continue this great routing, this striking through of kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. And indeed, towards the end of the Bible in Revelation chapter 6, yes, this is not just Old Testament language. This is New Testament language too. We find Jesus Christ spoken of. Revelation 6, 1 to 2. Come and see, and I saw, and behold a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Here we have Jesus Christ riding forth on the gospel charger, conquering and to conquer. And again, near the end of Revelation, we read of Jesus Christ taking the beast and the false prophet that wrought miracles before him. And what did he do? These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45, he must reign till all enemies be put under his feet. And even in the mouth of Christ himself, we find the language of warfare. He speaks of himself going forth and bringing about an everlasting destruction of his enemies, time after time in the Gospels. And so when we read in Psalm 18 of this one, we read of him in verse 32, it is God, he says, that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. We're thinking here not just of David, but the son of David. We read, he maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. Speaking of the warrior's great agility and skill on all sorts of terrain, like the deer in the mountain. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Now, these great bows they used, it was actually a sign of mighty strength if you were even able to bend it. And here we read, he not only bends it, he can break it. Thou hast given me the shield of thy salvation. Thy right hand hath holden me up. Thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies. A description of the character, the skill, the agility, the courage, the power of this mighty military warrior, this holy warrior. And then in verses 37 and following, we have him going forth to rout his enemies. The question is, when was or is this prophecy fulfilled? Well, it's fulfilled, first of all, in the past, when Christ routed sin on the cross. When Christ took on this great enemy of his people. This psalm depicts the enemies of the Lord as organized, as working in a united way, as strong and mighty and opposed to his people. We read, for example, in verse 29, he says, by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. And the word for troop there is the word used to describe a highly disciplined and mighty force. The word for wall is a word for a fortified city. And what's being depicted here are obstacles, difficulties, enemies and armies that are massive, that are innumerable, that are seemingly impossible to defeat and overcome. And yet what we have here is this great warrior going forth and doing exactly that. Jesus Christ then did this first of all at the cross. What did he do? Well, we read here first of all in verse 37, he chased them. He said, I have pursued mine enemies. Christ did not wait for his enemies to come to him and act defensively. He went out towards them. He went forward to meet them. He set his face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem. When they came to take him in the garden, we read, he stepped forward. And at all times we see this mighty warrior, never on the back foot, but always on the front foot, going forwards to face this great foe of sin that he had to defeat. And so he can truly say, I chased sin. I confronted it. I went against these mine enemies. Sin here being depicted as an army, as a phalanx, as a wedge of these highly skilled troops that drive in to opposing armies and cause confusion and disorder. Is that not such an accurate picture of sin? The wedge, the phalanx that drives into humanity and that divides man from man and man from God. But he says, I chased them and I overtook them, just as he did with the Amalekites. This was not an enemy that was getting the better of him, that was able to run away, but an enemy that he steadily throughout his life was catching up on, getting closer to, closer and closer, seeing the ferocity of the foe, seeing this mighty force of sin that had so crushed humanity and that had so defeated so many creatures of his making. But he says, I have overtaken them. And he said, I didn't give up, neither did I turn again till they were consumed. How many obstacles, how many difficulties, how many barriers he faced, how many battles he had to go through. But he wasn't like some of David's men who were able to go but stopped halfway, that didn't have the strength, endurance, or determination to pursue to the bitter end. No, he continued and continued and persevered and persevered and endured to the very bitter end and drank every dreg of the cup and took on every single sin of his people until, as he said, till they were consumed. Until he had suffered the penalty due to them and so took away the guilt and took away the power that so crushed and burdened his people. Then he says, I dealt them a fatal blow. I wounded them that they were not able to rise. This wasn't somebody who simply came and scratched the face of his foe. This wasn't somebody who came and simply cut off an arm or a leg. This was not a wound from which sin could ever recover. No, he said, I wounded them that they were not able to rise. So that when his people come before God, they know their sins have been defeated and obliterated and consumed. So that his people know that when they come to judgment, their sins have been slaughtered. They have been all taken away. They have been annihilated. And they will never rise up against them. Never rise up before them as a mighty army marching them down to hell. He says, they are fallen under my feet. It looked on the cross as if Christ was defeated. But he's saying, no, what happened on the cross when my feet were lifted up from the ground was I was putting sin under my feet. this classic sign of dominance over the enemy. The king used to take the enemy that he was fighting against and put his foot on the neck of his foe to show how he had subjugated him and defeated him and humiliated him. And this is what Christ Jesus did on the cross to sin. He put it under his feet. He subjugated it. Then we read how God strengthened him. Verse 39. Thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. And what a battle. And what strength he needed. Thou hast subdued unto me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. Sin really is, in essence, it's hatred of Christ. This is the very core of it. And this is why he went all out to meet it and defeat it. Because sin is hatred of God. And so he says here, I came to destroy what hated me. Sin, the ultimate expression of hatred against God. We read, they cried, but there was none to save them. Sin here being portrayed as a dying enemy, giving out its last breath, giving its last quiver, as it were, of life, crying out, give me more life, give me more souls to destroy. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then he says, I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. What a picture of utter contempt for his enemy. Giving it no honour, giving it no dignity in defeat, taking this sin and pounding it to powder so that it was blown away in the wind, taking it and treating it like the refuse of the day, casting it into the street, which would have been eaten up of the dogs and the wild animals. And what was the end of it all? Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people. Peace. After the battle, peace. After this mighty struggle, rest. Oh yes, Jesus Christ has fulfilled this in the past. He has routed sin. He has defeated sin. This is what he was doing on the cross, triumphing over his enemies, making a show of them openly. And now he's dividing the spoil. He's inviting, he's calling for men and women to come and share in the victory. Come and enjoy the spoils of this defeat. He's saying, you are facing an enemy alone. You try and face sin alone. You try and defeat sin alone. You try and deliver yourself from sin and you will be defeated. But you come and make me the captain of your salvation. Say to me, be my mighty warrior against my sin. Take it and defeat it. Take it and obliterate its guilt. Take it and pound its power to powder. Take it and treat it like the dirt it is. O mighty warrior, come. And get the victory in my soul. This is also true, though, of the Lord's routing of the devil, of Satan, in the present. This is a description of what Jesus Christ is doing today, at this very moment. Again, he is chasing down his enemy, the devil. It's not as if the devil is chasing him. He's chasing the devil. He's on him. He's after him. He's closing in on him. And he says here with all confidence, I will overtake him. At a time of his choosing, and at the place of his choosing, he could do it right now. He could take the devil out of this world at any moment. But he's chasing him in a controlled, sovereign, wise way. He knows the moment that will best bring glory to him. He's chasing him, he will overtake him, and he will not give up until he has utterly consumed him, until he has taken away his power and his influence over his people. And he will wound him so that he will never be able to rise again. Every time a sinner is saved, he is wounding the heart of the devil. He is driving a stake into his heart. And the day is coming when he's going to drive the last stake in. When this will be truly fulfilled, when he will wound him in such a way that he will never be able to arise again. When he will fall under his feet, when he will put his neck under his feet and will show to the whole world a picture of total domination and subjugation. When he will bring the devil to an undignified and dishonorable end. When he will show who truly is the prince of this world. And he will cry. Oh yes, he will destroy him because he hates him. And he will cry out. He will scream. He will yell as he's never yelled and screamed before. And what will the answer be? None to save. None to deliver. No mercy. Then he will beat him small as the dust before the wind and throw him out as the dirt in the street. A fitting end, would you not say? Oh yes, this great, powerful foe who has confounded so many, who has defeated so many, who even this night is carrying hundreds of thousands to utter and final defeat in hell. This one who is driving wedges in still between God and man and man and man. This great warrior will one day be treated like pounded powder, like dirt in the street. Don't you long for that day when you'll see that wicked, vile, vicious, violent foe utterly humiliated? When all his power over this world will be taken away? When he'll find all his titles, all his influence, all his achievements, all his successes just pounded into powder and cast out like the rubbish in the street? What a day when God will put him where he belongs, the hell prepared for the devil and his angels, to everlasting destruction. Then truly there will be rest. Then there will be a deliverance from the strivings, from the battle, from the war. For those who are with the mightiest warrior of all. But if this is fulfilled in the Lord's routing of sin in the past, and the Lord's continual routing and ongoing routing of Satan in the present and into the future, this is ultimately fulfilled by the Lord's routing of sinners themselves in the future. Oh yes, he will rout sin. And he will rout Satan. But he will also rout sinners. Unrepentant, unbelieving sinners. Those who have spent their lives in rebellion against him. Listen. Listen to this prophecy. It may be speaking of you. If you remain unchanged, this may be the story of your eternity. What happens when you die? What will your experience be? Will it be reigning with the Lord? Or will it be routed by the Lord? Will you be with him? Or will he be against you for all eternity? Oh, sinner, if you are unsaved here tonight, if you are without Christ, without God, and without hope in the world, this is your future. You are heading towards a total rout. Your whole life, all that you are and all that you've done, is going to be ransacked and routed forever. What does he say? He says, I will chase you. Oh yes, he's chasing you. You think you've got nothing to do with the Lord. He's got plenty to do with you. He's after you. He's hunting you. He's chasing you down as a rebel. As David did with the Amalekites. He is pursuing and he is chasing and he is on your trail. You don't know much about him. You don't know where he is, but he knows exactly where you are. He knows his enemies. He knows their tactics. He knows their strategies. And he is coming up behind you. He is chasing and he says, I will overtake you. Oh, you may think that you're clever and you're smart. And you may think you're able to avoid him and hide from him in this world. And you may think you're able to keep him at a distance in this world. But listen, he says, I will overtake you. He's going to draw level one day. He's going to put his hand on your shoulder. He's going to turn you around. And he's going to say, judgment. Off to judgment. He's going to overtake you. And what next? He says, I will not turn again till they are consumed. He is never going to give up. However many obstacles you put in his way, how many different tacks you take, he is going to never give up. You may think, oh, I'm a nobody. The Lord, bad people will be dealt with, but I'm not the best, I'm not the worst. The people kind of in between, they'll just get through. Never. Never. He will never give up until he's made a total and perfect separation. He says, I wounded them that they were not able to rise. You've been wounded in this life perhaps at times. Maybe in providence the Lord has come and wounded you to bring you down. And perhaps you were kept down for a while. But old Mr. Proud and Mrs. Proud soon rises up again in rebellion against their Maker. Maybe he's wounded you in the soul, in the spirit. Maybe he's come with his word and given you a painful lesson. And you've been frightened perhaps. You've been hurt perhaps by the truth of your own condition. And you've been humbled and maybe you've gone home and you've tried to walk softly before God like Ahab did. But again, it doesn't last. He wounded, but you rose again. But here he says, I've wounded them that they were not able to rise. There's a wounding coming that you'll never recover from. A wounding of the body and a wounding of the soul. a wounding of every part of your being. Indeed, it's described as an everlasting wounding, a destroying that goes on and on and on. And you'll never be able to arise again, never be able to lift up yourself again. Such will be the force, such will be the power, such will be the might that is behind the thrust into your body and your soul. No wonder, Jesus says, fear not those who can kill the body, but fear him who is able to cast both body and soul into hell. He says, I will chase you, I will overtake you, I won't give up on you, I will wound you, and I will put your neck under my feet. They are fallen under my feet. Thou hast given me the necks of mine enemies. Yes, that hard neck, that stiff neck, that brass neck that would never bow and bend before the Lord, that refused to humble itself before him. He says, that same neck I will put under my feet. In total domination and total subjugation. That neck that walks so tall and so proud, how low and how humiliated it will one day be. Yes, that neck you presently have, one day, under his feet. And that's literal, isn't it? That I might destroy them that hate me. Do you hate the Lord? If you don't love him, you hate him. You can't be indifferent or neutral. He that is not with me is against me. If you hate him, he's going to destroy you. Guaranteed. And then he says, you will cry. Oh, how you will cry. How you will yell. And how you will scream. And how you will call. And what's the answer? None to save. Look at that verse there. You'll notice that some of the words are in italics, which means that these words have been supplied by the translators to give the sentence a better flow in English. And so if we just take the words that are there in the Hebrew, it says, they cried, but none to save, none to save, none to save. There is one to save, here and now. There's only one who can save. And there's only one who is willing to save. And there's one you can cry out to now for that salvation. But the day is coming when one to save will be changed to none to save. Not one, no one, anywhere, ever. And not just on day one of eternity, but on day million, 10 million, 10,000 million. None to save goes the echo through hell. None to save you. However much you cry, and however much you scream, none to save. It's a cry into a vacuum, a cry into blackness, a cry into emptiness. Even unto the Lord you never cried to here, but he answered them not. And then these most solemn words. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. it was common after a great victory for the victorious foes, the victorious army, to take a great spoil from their enemies. But they would only take what was worthwhile. Part of the victory celebrations was the dividing of that spoil. But part of it also was taking what was useless and worthless and grinding it to powder and throwing it to the wind. And he's saying, that's your future. That is what this mighty warrior is going to do. He will divide the spoil with his people. And he will grind to powder his foes, those who are worthless to him. And I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. Does that need explained? Can that be made more vivid? Does that need application? I think not. He says, thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people. Rest. All your strivings against him over, and he is at rest. Total victory. Total peace. Those who opposed him consigned to an everlasting pounding, crushing, and a throwing out as the rubbish in the streets. The evangelist Finney he was training to be a lawyer, and one day a Christian man asked him, what are you going to do after your training? And Finney said, be a lawyer. And then what? Said his friend. Become rich, said Finney. Then what? Retire. Then what? Die. Then what? Judgment. Then what? And Finney ran. He ran to the woods. And he didn't come out of these woods until he was a saved man. Suddenly the folly and the vanity of everything in this life had been brought home to him. Then what? Then what? What are you living for? And then what? What's your ambition? Then what? Listen to these solemn words of this mighty warrior. Don't you see him going forth conquering and to conquer, taking all his enemies, making them his footstool? Listen to these words. He says, mine enemies I pursued have, and did them overtake, nor did I turn again till I an end of them did make. I wounded them, they could not rise. They at my feet did fall. Thou girdest me with strength for war. My foes thou broughtst down all. Yea, thou hast given to me the necks of all mine enemies, that I might them destroy and slay. who would against me rise. They cried out, but there was none that would or could them save. Yea, they did cry unto the Lord, but he no answer gave. Then did I beat them small as dust before the wind that flies. And I did cast them out like dirt, but on the ground does lie. It need not be so. O sinner, this warrior is merciful. He's willing to make his enemies his friends, call in his name, say, Almighty One, save me. Have mercy on me. Make me one of thy friends. Professing Christian, are you sure you have this warrior as your friend? Oh, you see, I've been a member for many years. You say, I've been an office bearer, I've been a minister. Are you sure that this will not be your end? Oh, there's many professing who have no signs of possessing. There's many who name the name of Christ who haven't got an ounce of Christ-likeness in their lives. There are many who say, Lord, Lord, who don't do the things that he says. There are many who are going to be grounded to dust and cast out like dirt, who think they are the jewels in the crown. Are you sure? Make your calling and election sure. Let us pray.